Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Today I'm going to present work on monitoring trends in prevalence of anogenital warts, an early outcome of human papillomavirus, or HPV infection. First, I'll provide some background and rationale for our project. HPV infection is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. Infection rates are highest among young persons within the first several years of sexual debut. Over 40 types of HPV can infect the anogenital area. High-risk types are associated with cervical, anal, and other genital cancers. Among these, types 16 and 18 cause approximately 70% of cervical cancers worldwide. Low-risk types are non-oncogenic, but can cause benign anogenital lesions and anogenital warts. Over 90% of anogenital warts are due to HPV types 6 and 11. This slide shows the estimated timeline for genital outcomes of HPV infection. Genital warts can develop within weeks or months of infection, while cervical cancer can often take decades to develop. In mid-2006, a quadrivalent HPV vaccine was licensed in the U.S. for use in females. This vaccine is specific against HPV types 16 and 18, as well as types 6 and 11. A bivalent vaccine, specific for only HPV 16 and 18, was licensed 3 years later in 2009. These vaccines are routinely recommended for girls aged 11 through 12 years, with catch-up vaccination extending through age 26. In late 2011, the quadrivalent vaccine also was recommended for males aged 11 through 12, with catch-up vaccination through age 21. Vaccine uptake in the U.S. is relatively low, as shown at the bottom of this slide. In 2010, a national survey found that 49% of girls aged 13 through 17 had received at least one dose of the HPV vaccine series, but only 32% had received all three doses. Vaccine uptake as of 2010 was extremely low among boys. Post-licensure monitoring of the impact of any new vaccine is an important surveillance activity, which can be used to assess the progress of immunization programs and demonstrate the population impact of vaccination. However, several factors complicate surveillance of HPV infections, including multiple clinical outcomes and multiple, often extended time intervals for their development. One approach to assessing the population impact of HPV vaccination is to monitor changes in time in the prevalence of anogenital warts, the earliest outcome of HPV infection. The objectives of our study were as follows: to estimate the annual prevalence of anogenital warts from 2003 through 2009 in a large group of privately insured patients by gender and age group, in order to identify changes that might be attributable to quadrivalent HPV vaccination. Next, I'll briefly describe the methods that we used. Our analysis used data from the MarketScan Commercial Claims and Encounters database, a set of proprietary files containing private, commercially insured healthcare claims data from throughout the U.S. Claim types include outpatient medical and surgical, outpatient pharmaceutical, and inpatient medical and surgical. For this analysis, we restricted the 2003 through 2009 commercial claims data to records from persons aged 10 through 39 years old in a given year who were continuously enrolled throughout the year. These records represented a total of over 50 million person years of data. This slide shows the number of continuously enrolled persons aged 10 through 39 in each year's data. Although the number of enrollees increased annually after 2006, the year HPV vaccine was licensed in the U.S., we have no reason to think this increase is causally related to vaccine licensure, but is simply due to increased participation in MarketScan by employers and health plans. There were a number of anogenital wart-related indicators that we used in our analysis. I'll first describe each indicator, and then I'll show how we used the various combinations to create our case definition. The first was the International Classification of Disease, 9th Revision, Clinical Modification, or ICD-9 Diagnosis Code of 078.11, which is specific for condyloma acuminata, or anogenital warts. There were also a number three less specific viral wart codes, which do not include the anatomic site of infection. There were a number of national drug codes representing various formulations of the anogenital wart treatments listed here. Note that two of these, imiquimod and trichloroacetic acid, are also indicated for conditions other than anogenital warts. There were a number of less specific diagnosis or procedure codes for benign neoplasms of the anogenital region, destruction or excision of anogenital lesions, and colposcopy of the vulva. Note that we did not include the cervix as an anatomic site for any of these diagnoses or procedures in order to avoid the preponderance of cervical lesions caused by oncogenic HPV types. To create our case definition for anogenital warts, we use these indicators as follows. We classified persons with one or more diagnoses of a condyloma acuminatum within a given year as cases. We also classified persons with one or more of the less specific diagnoses of viral warts within a given year as cases if there were also either a procedure for destruction or excision of an anogenital lesion or a diagnosis of a benign anogenital neoplasm within 30 days of the viral warts diagnosis. Similarly, we classified those with one or more prescriptions for genital wart medication within a given year as cases only if there was also either a procedure or a diagnosis specific to the anogenital region within 30 days of the prescription. And now for our results. First, we'll look at prevalence over time by five-year age group in males. This slide shows a very low prevalence of 0.2 per 1,000 person years for boys aged 10 to 14 years. We think that the small prevalence rates, coupled with a lack of variation, indicate a reasonably specific and stable case definition. Rates are higher in males aged 15 through 19 years, ranging from 0.5 cases per 1,000 person years in 2003 to 0.9 in 2009. Rates in males aged 30 through 34 and 35 through 39 were higher. For 30 through 34-year-olds, rates range from 2.5 to 4.1 per 1,000 person years. And finally, the highest rates in males were observed in those aged 20 through 24 and 25 through 29. Rates in males aged 25 through 29 were 3.0 per 1,000 person years in 2003 to 5.8 in 2009. Although rates in these age groups increased most rapidly in 2007 through 2009, the rates in the 20 to 24-year-olds and 20 through 25-year-old men also increased significantly between 2004 and 2006. Now let's look at females. We again observed very low rates in those aged 10 to 14 years. These minimal rates in girls were almost identical to those in boys of the same age. Rates among females in the oldest age groups, 30 to 34-year-olds and 35 to 39, were lower than those observed for men in the same age groups. For women aged 30 through 34, rates were 1.6 per 1,000 in 2003 and 2.5 in 2009. We saw higher rates in women aged 25 through 29 years, ranging from 2.5 to 4.1. Note that as for men in these older age groups, the rates in women increased over time, although the increases in women were not as much as those that we observed in men. However, when we examined rates in women aged 20 through 24 years, we didn't find the same increase over time, although the rates did increase through 2006, the first year that HPV vaccine was licensed. Rates from 2007 through 2009 were essentially unchanged, leveling off at 5.4 to 5.5 per 1,000 person years. In women aged 15 through 19 years, the group most likely to be impacted by the introduction of HPV vaccine, the inflection in trend was more pronounced. Prevalence per 1,000 person years was 2.9 in 2006, declining to 2.2 in 2009. While this decrease is relatively small, less than 1 in 1,000, it is statistically significant given the large number of observations in our study. The 2009 rates in girls aged 15 through 19 was derived from 2,525 cases with a denominator of over 1.1 million person years. Our work has a number of limitations. Most important, it's purely ecologic analysis. We cannot definitely conclude that HPV vaccination is the cause of these changes in trends that we see for young women. Also, inference to a more general, well-defined population, such as all privately insured persons in the U.S., is not possible using these data. Administrative claims data are used for billing purposes and therefore are subject to several limitations. In particular, diagnosis codes may include conditions that are considered but ruled out, although this is unlikely for such a straightforward diagnosis as genital warts. The study has a number of strengths as well. We have data from large number of persons in each gender and age category, ranging from 750,000 to 2 million females in the age groups of most interest. As previously indicated, we think our case definition is reasonably specific for anogenital warts. In the past decade, a number of studies have estimated genital wart prevalence in various populations using different methodologies and case definitions. Our pre-vaccination error estimates are reasonably similar to those that have been previously reported after these differences are taken into consideration. For example, our highest pre-vaccine error rates were in women aged 20 through 24 years, similar to findings by other researchers. In 2007, Australia implemented a national HPV vaccination program for girls and young women, achieving coverage with one or more doses of 65 to 80%. Researchers have subsequently reported reductions of almost 75% in genital wart presentations among age-eligible resident Australian women. Our observations indicate that reductions in prevalence of anogenital warts among young women also may be possible to detect in the U.S., despite much lower rates of vaccine uptake. I'd like to acknowledge my CDC collaborators on this project, Dr. Hillard Weinstock and Bob Schwartz. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions that you might have. And I do want to mention, while you're thinking about your questions or coming up to the mic, that right before I came here, I finally had the opportunity to look at the 2010 data, and we're still seeing declines among the women aged 15 through 19. In addition, we're starting to see declines in women aged 20 through 24. So we're seeing some other interesting results, but the look is very preliminary, and it's only one additional year of data, but it's very exciting.
Okay. We have time for a couple of questions.
Hi, Ping Du from Penn State University. So I'm wondering, in your claim data, do you have any information regarding race, ethnicity, or geographic region?
Yes, we do have geographic region. I have a little bit of information on that. Race and ethnicity, not available, unfortunately, in these data. This is males by geographic region, the census region, northeast, north central, south, and west. You can see, although there is some variation, that we do see basically the same trends. When we look at women, we see roughly the same things. I mean, you do notice the uptick in the northeast. Now, I will say that my understanding is the HPV vaccine, the quadrivalent vaccine, was heavily marketed in the northeast. It may be that the year after the introduction, there was more awareness, maybe more women presented of age 20 through 24, either concerned that they had genital warts, because people do get vaccinated even when they present with anogenital lesions or cervical lesions. If you look at that line I drew in, aside from that uptick, you do see similar increases. The leveling off that you see, again, the data get less stable as you go through the regions. So thank you. Heidi.
Thanks, Elaine. Great job. I have a question. I'm interested in your thoughts on the increases mm-hmm. in the older age groups. And two things. One, what might be driving that? And mm-hmm. two, how would that impact your interpretation of the real trends in younger women if they would have been increasing without the vaccine?
Right, right. Thank you. There could be a number of reasons we can't tell from these data. We thought at first that it might be increased use of outpatient prescriptions for anogenital wart medications. However, our case definition, 87% of the cases had a diagnosis of condyloma acuminata. Only 3%, once you take away the diagnosis or the viral warts, only 3% had a prescription. So that's not driving it. It could be that after the introduction of the vaccine, you know, you're really seeing that uptick. There's either increased screening or awareness by clinicians, increased awareness in privately insured patients, the patients that have the opportunity to get vaccinated, you know, worried well might be coming in. We wondered if there was increased billing for anogenital wart diagnoses or procedures. I tend to think that's unlikely. It's not something we can really look at well with these data. You know, I did look at the regional variations in prevalence and the market scan participation. I even talked with the market scan people, and they were like, we've just been adding health plans to our data. We thought about, and we're going to go look at the types of health plans that got added in over time, but we don't think that's going to influence this. So it might well be slight increases. One thing to point out is the rates I presented were per 1,000 person years. So the increases, the scale makes it look like there's a big increase, but it's only 1 in 1,000 people per year. So it just may be increased awareness.
Thank you, Dr. Flagg. Very nice. I think in the interest of time, we should move on, and perhaps we can have more discussion about this later on.